Welcome to the Radiant Life Church podcast. You're about to hear a message that we pray will inspire your heart and challenge your faith. For more information on RLC, please visit myrlc.family or check us out on social media. Have a blessed day. Now here's your message.
We're jumping into part two of a series that we've entitled Power and Presence, Power and Presence. And I'm just going to encourage you. Last week, I explained that, hey, when something happens, we want to make sure that we always lead with love. And by leading with love means we're going to pray. And so we prayed over the team that left on Monday to go overseas, seven of them, to spread the gospel. And they're getting ready they're 11 hours ahead of us. And so they're all asleep, but they're getting up very early. They're leaving at 5:15 in the morning, and they're going to be heading to a part of the country where they're at, and they're going to be working with refugees and orphans. And I just want you to continue to pray for them. They're going to be, over the next 4 days, just having opportunities to love people, to share the gospel, and to pray with people. And we know, because it's not just songs we sing, right? And we know that even though they're probably about as far as you could get from us on planet Earth right now, that God is more than able. There's no distance, there's no space, there's no time that he's not able to move. So it's crazy to think that 11 hours ahead of us, they could receive a miracle that we're praying for now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just kind of try to fathom, if you can, what God is able to do. So continue to pray for them. And then again, next Sunday, right, we're launching Orville, so make sure you're praying over that. It's going to be so good, and I don't like to embarrass people, but I'm going to embarrass them. Not going to embarrass them, but we're going to celebrate somebody here today because all of our renovations for that building are complete. It took us a while to get there, but one of the individuals that's been helping us and just finished covering the windows for us and painting them, one of the windows is only 45 feet in the air. It's not a big deal, okay? It really wasn't a big deal, especially if you're afraid of heights. Really not a big deal. By appreciation, can you do me a favor? Can you thank Mr. Steve Cockerham, who's sitting over here, for all the work that he's put in? I won't show you the video. Just know that OSHA would not approve of how the windows got painted. That's all I'm gonna say. But man, he just helped us over there. Such a blessing. Laid all the floor, built walls, drywall, bathroom remodels, you name it, he did it. And it was such a blessing to us to have it all done. And we're ready to go. And man, just be praying that this is an impact in a community, that lives would be impacted with the gospel. And in a little bit, I'll tell you somehow that you can partner with us. But this morning, I want to share about the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we shared about the presence. And I want to share about the power. We are very blessed in Ohio. When I was a kid growing up, there was multiple amusement parks that you had the choice of. Right, so if you lived up in Cleveland, Old Brooklyn, you could go to the kiddie park up there. So if you were small, you could go there. But we had Cedar Point. But we also had Geauga Lake and SeaWorld combination, right? You could ride a roller coaster and see Shamu all at the same time. Like, it's a pretty cool experience, right? But in 1984, they built what was called the Wave. This is an actual picture of that wave right there. So that's the wave pool in Geauga Lake in 1984. And so this isn't like, if you think about like going to Kalahari or something like that, and you get the wave pool and it's like, woo, right? And these little foot waves. This wave pool was not that. It was 400 foot long and 2 million gallons of water. It wasn't like a bunch of continuous waves. It was one wave at one time, and then it would take all the water back in, rejuvenate its power, and then release again about every 15, 20 minutes. One wave. So I remember the first time going to Geauga Lake after this was open. Actually, oddly enough, when I looked at this picture, I was like, there's like an extra white person there. That's probably me. That's probably 10-year-old Lance right there. That's what I look like without my shirt on. So, and that's about where I was standing for this story. So I'm new. This is like really cool. It's water. It's like water, like never seen anything like this before. And I didn't have all the knowledge that I had now, and nor did I know how to talk to people and ask about how things work. And so I made an assumption. How many know you get into trouble when you make assumptions? So I made the assumption, like, I'm not going to go that far in. I was probably right there. But I don't know how this thing's designed. I'm not an engineer. I'm 10 years old, right? And so you can see it's 400 foot long, but there's an opening. You see how it opens up? Well, when it opens up to the side, that is when the wave, and I didn't know this, was at its strongest. assumption, right? And so I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand right about there, and this is going to be great because I don't want this thing to topple me. Like, I want to protect myself. Well, sure enough, that wave comes and people flying everywhere, and I'm like, okay, this is not a big deal. All of a sudden, bam, right in my face, takes me underwater. I'm rolling like a dead dry leaf in a fall day with the wind blowing about 20, 30 miles an hour. And I am just tumbling under the water for about, it felt like eternity, but it was probably 25, 30 feet. And all of a sudden, I emerge from the water like, what just happened? What hit me? And I'm like, and what is this pain? And I look down, my knees are ripped open. They are shredded because it was concrete. I am bleeding like crazy. And I'm like, I'm like walking out of the pool like this. And I'm like, I'm never going back in this thing. This thing's dangerous. Kids should not be allowed in that wave pool. But what I didn't know was its power. Because what I came to learn was there's options here. Like, so for instance, if you were at the beginning of it where you thought it would be the biggest, they actually brought a surfer in to surf it because that's the power it had. But you were protected. But what I didn't know is you could dive under the wave and be safe. And everybody would fly over top of you. I didn't know that. So I learned it. The first time, I didn't know about its power. The second time, I understood its power. So this morning, as we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, some things and someone can only be and known by experience, not just by talking about it. Right? I can talk to you about Geauga Lake, but if you were there and you experienced it, you would know about its power. And so when we're talking about the power today, my prayer is that you would experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit today. In the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit at work in power in different ways. Joseph received power and he had skill as he was leading a country. He was leading Egypt. We see Joshua overcome with the Holy Spirit, being able to lead the military. We see Samson in Judges chapter 14, verse 6, where he is, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he tears a lion with his bare hands. In the New Testament, we see the Spirit being poured out. In a few short months, I know it sounds crazy, right? We're gonna celebrate Christmas in just a few short months. And just go to Hobby Lobby. They'll tell you it's already here, all right? But here's the deal. It's like Christmas is, and we're gonna celebrate the birth. And so you see the power of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament in the book of Luke. Because Mary is wondering, I don't understand this. As the angels speak, I don't get it. Me and Joseph, we've been doing this right. And so now I'm a virgin, and how is it possible that I'm gonna conceive a child in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, here's our text. It says, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High. Not Mary in your strength, not Mary by your power, but the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Jesus, the same baby, goes to give his life. And on the cross, the Bible says that the Son of God was raised from the dead again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I have a couple questions for you this morning. Anybody ever ran into somebody, when you heard them pray, you know that God answered their prayer? Like, because they pray and they call fire from heaven. Like, they're just passionate prayer warriors. And like, you want them to be praying for you when you have a need, because it's like, man, they pray and they know what to say. They know how to say it. Like, their words, they're eloquent. Like, how do they pray like that? I didn't even know you could use that many syllable words in a prayer. And like, yet here they are and they're crushing it. And it's like, this is awesome. It's like, man, how did they have that? Or maybe you run into somebody. You run into like a Tina Mathis, and some of you are like, do you pick on anybody else in this church other than this woman? She is my favorite person other than my wife and kids on planet Earth, and so I do pick on her a lot. But here's the deal. If you have a conversation with Tina, she's gonna quote scripture. She knows the word, and she has memorized the word. She meditates on the word. And so you find someone like that, and they're just, it's like, oh, I'm walking through this. Well, do you know what it says in the book of Acts? And you're like, what are you, the Encyclopedia Britannica for the Bible? Like, how do you know all these things? And yet she just quotes it, and you're like, man, how has that happened? And you meet somebody who you're like, man, they have faith. Something happens in their life, they're just not shaken, they're not moved. They're not me in the wave pool, right? They're the opposite. They stand strong, and you're like, what is happening? Like something happens to them, and it's like Monty Python from the Holy Grail, where it's like he chops off an arm. He's like, mere flesh wound, right? It's like nothing happens. They're not shaken. And you're like, so what do these people all have in common that can pray, that can quote scripture, that have a faith that seems like they can pray and mountains move? Is it possible that all of them have the same common factor, which is the power of the Holy Spirit living inside and breathing in them? Let me explain it to you this way. A couple years ago, when we first built the building, put all the landscaping in, and we put down mulch. And then, how many know with mulch, you got to keep redoing it every year after year. And we're like, what if we put down stone instead of mulch? We're like, well, let's do that. And so we got rid of all the mulch and hauled it out of here. And then they brought like 40,000 tons of stone to start spreading. And the landscaping company was like, hey, we're going to bring some tractors. We're going to help out. And but you can bring some volunteers. So we had like 20 volunteers show up for work day. And we're going to put all the stone everywhere. And we're like, okay. And so he's using tractors and he's working on another project. And I said, well, this is what we're going to do. We have like 8 wheelbarrows and some shovels. So we'll start shoveling this stone into the wheelbarrows. And then we'll just start, because how many know if you pulled in, you saw some trees and those trees have stone? You're welcome. I can. However, there was me and then a bunch of other people. And one of the people that walked up next to me to grab a wheelbarrow was Cody Hahn. Now, if you've ever seen Cody, his neck, his traps are like the size of my thighs, right? And so he's next to me. And if you know anything about, I said it last week, I'm a little competitive, right? That's why, just so you know, for the next 17 weeks, if you don't like hearing about the Cleveland Browns, you probably hear about it somehow, some way, every Sunday. Just forgive me, give me grace, all right? I'm a glutton for punishment. Today is the happiest day for me because we're undefeated. That's it. I got faith today, people. I got faith. Today's a good day. But here's the deal. Like, we're out there, and so we're shoveling stone, and I'm like, I got this. He's like 12 years younger than me. He's an iron worker, and I'm a preacher. I'm like, I got you, right? And we're shoveling, and then he lifts his wheelbarrow, and I look at his, and I'm like, mine's just as full as yours. And then I lift mine, and I was like, sweet Jesus, this was a bad idea. And I'm holding it, and I was like, if you understand a little bit of my work ethic, you never start with something that's the closest. You go to the farthest thing. And so I was like, yeah, we gotta go to the trees by where you pull in. You may not notice it in your car, but the parking lot has a pitch to it. To get to those trees, it's a little elevated. I was not aware of that at the time. The building was new. So here I am with my wheelbarrow, and I was like, my arms are on fire, my shoulders are burning, and I was like, I can't let Cody show me up. And he's just like. And so I go dump, and I'm like, ah! And it covers about half the tree, and I was like, someone needs to come finish this. But I didn't, and I walk back, and so we get another wheelbarrow, and we keep doing this, and I'm like, whose idea was this? I was like, that was me. So then it comes to do the big areas. And Michael's like, hey, this is what we're going to do. You can use the wheelbarrow, but we're going to use some of our tractors. They start spreading stone with the tractor. And he's like, hey, let me fill your wheelbarrow with the tractor so you don't have to use a shovel. And I was like, huh? He's like, push them together. I'll get a bucket, and then I'll dump them at the same time. It'll work perfect. And I was like, where were you a half hour ago? Right? And he does it, picks it up, and then it's fine. He finishes the entire pile. And I'm like, why did I just use a wheelbarrow and a shovel? Because here's what happens. We have shovels, and we want to do it on our own strength. And God's like, I got tractors upon tractors upon tractors. I have power that you have not tapped into yet. There is so much power available to you, but you would rather choose to grab a shovel and do it on your own instead of going, God, I trust you and your power to show up to do what only you can do. Why do I keep doing it on my own? That's the untapped and unlimited power that we have access to with God. But here's the problem is we keep grabbing shovels. And we keep trying to do it on our own. Here's what I know. We need the power of God to fulfill the plans of God. You want God to do something mighty in you, then you're going to need the power of God to make that happen. Because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. But God has great plans. But not only does he have great plans, he's got unlimited power to help you fulfill those plans. So if you have your Bibles, or maybe you got your smart device, whatever it is, grab those. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. And we're going to see a lengthy portion of scripture here, but I want to give you context. Jesus has died on the cross. He has been risen from the dead, and now he is with them in bodily form, and he's having a conversation before he would ascend to heaven. All right? And now he's having a conversation, and here's how the conversation went, starting in verse 4. It says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. Now, last week we talked about the presence. So we unpacked John chapter 14, where Jesus says, I have to go. I'm going so that I can send someone greater. I'm going to send the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit. And now you were seeing like, listen, the promise is coming. So wait for it. Verse 5, it says, John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now that's important. because we're going to talk about this word baptized and what that really means. Because the word baptism, when we talk about it, and when we talk about engaged party and baptism, we walk people through, like, what does it mean to be baptized? Well, the Greek word for baptized, for our English word, the Greek word is baptismo. Baptismo means fully submerged. So we don't sprinkle here at Radiant Life Church. It's a all the way under and all the way up. And that's very important. A couple of our engaged parties ago, there was a gentleman that I think he was afraid of water. And so he was getting baptized, but he was trying to hold his head up. And I was like, oh no, we're gonna wrestle today. And he was like, no. And I was like, down you go, right? And I got him. I just want you to know I won. He didn't drown. Everything's fine. But that's because it's fully submerged. It is an overwhelming. To be filled means overwhelmed with, to be overcome by. So when we are filled or baptized in the Spirit, it's a overwhelming, it is a filling. And so what happens from verse 4 to verse 5, and now we look at verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So when you wonder why people go to spread the gospel all over the world, because we will be in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the other ends of the earth. And you don't have to go to the other side of the world, because you can go to Medina, you can go to Barberton, you can go to Ripman, you can go to Lodi, you can stay here in Wadsworth, you can travel just down the road to Norton, you can go to Oroville, you could go to East Akron. Because God will give you the power to be a bold witness for him and for his kingdom. Now, this word power is interesting. Just like the Greek word baptismo has a definition, this word power, the Greek word for power is dunamis. What does dunamis sound like? What is powerful that sounds like dunamis? It's our English word where we get dynamite. So you will receive power, you will receive dunamis, you will receive an explosive dynamite power, a miraculous working power. So you will be baptized with dynamite. That's a lot of power. And I'm not talking about like J.J. Walker from Good Times, like dynamite. I'm talking like power. All the young people in the room was like, who's J.J. Walker? Don't, just stop. Just, it's fine. And what is Good Times? It's good. Here's why this is so important, because dynamic power leads to explosive impact. A dynamic power leads to explosive impact. Now remember, we talked about the context of our verses here. Jesus is having a conversation with who? The disciples. Now the disciples, when you read through scripture, rarely, if ever, do you see Jesus saying, and it's not that he was mean, but they just got it wrong a lot. So it's usually, it doesn't happen like this. Guys, I'm not even sure why I'm here. Your faith is so strong without me. It's usually the opposite. I mean, you take somebody like Peter. He is a follower. He is a disciple. How many know that Peter got it wrong? And he was probably the ringleader of it. He said, Jesus, I'm with you. The cross, all the time, wherever you go, I'm never going to leave you. I got your back. I'm here for you. Until some junior high kids come up and ask me. Because when they question me, am I a follower of yours? Then I'll say no. Because that's what happened. He has a conversation with Jesus, says, I got your back. I'm never going to leave you. Wherever you go, I'll go. Whatever it takes, I'm going to be with you. Until junior high kids ask, senior high kids. Then it's like, I don't even know who you are. No, I'm not with him. That's the faith in this moment. So that's Peter. Then you look at Jesus has given the explanation. He says, I'm going to give my life. And only one out of the 12 showed up. So out of the 12 disciples, John shows up. The rest are just hiding in coward. They're cowards. What's this going to do? What's this going to mean for me? Jesus died. He rises from the grave. And where are the fearless disciples? They're in a room hiding. And I love this. There's nothing weird in the Bible, but when you read it, you're like, that sounds weird. Because in this moment, if you read it in context, Jesus shows up, but he just walks through the wall. He doesn't even use a door. Like, how many know that would be kind of cool, right? Like, where's Jesus? Hi. And he shows up in the room and he's there. And one of the disciples is like, yeah, so you died, you rose from the dead, but how do I know it's you? And so we see doubting Thomas. Oh, Thomas, where's your faith? If I could just touch, then I would believe. This is the group Now understand, Jesus is speaking to the disciples and he's like, listen, fellas, I'm going to use you. I'm leaving. I'm going to send someone greater. And I just want you to know that the message of me that you're going to use is going to spread like wildfire. The church is going to be born. It's going to grow. And I'm going to use your dysfunction. Now you see why they needed the power. Because on their own, they didn't have those gifts. They were incapable. But with God, all things are possible. So this is what he's talking about. Man, you're going to have some power to spread the message all over the world. So I think it's time for some of us as Christians to put down the shovels and start attaching ourselves to his power. We don't have to do it on our own strength. So here's what I'm going to do. I just want to show you real quick. Some of you are like, that was the intro. We're getting to the points. They're shorter. I just want to give you three things that you'll see very distinct with the power of the Holy Spirit that he wants to give to all of us who are followers. And here's number one. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to share Christ boldly. He'll give you the power to share Christ boldly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. It says, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. He's saying, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't have this. This isn't my gift. But I came with a message so that you would know it's not about me, it's about God. And can I just let you in on a little secret? That happens every Sunday here at Radiant Life Church. So when I walk up the ramp and I stand in the back and I'm like, God, you're gonna have to give me some strength here, because on my own, it's just gonna sound like a speech. But God, if you will anoint it, if you will give me the words, then it will have some power. Because God's got a great sense of humor. People laugh at this all the time. They're like, man, what's it like being an extrovert? I was like, well, if I find one, I'll tell you. I'm an introvert. I was voted most self-conscious my senior year of high school. Now understand, I was an athlete. I had 8 varsity letters. Like, I played sports. Being around people was normal, but I was quiet and shy, and I just did what everybody else did. Not only was I voted most self-conscious, I didn't even show up for the picture. I didn't even get my picture in the yearbook. They took somebody else, and I was like, I don't even want to go, right? It's like, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to be associated. And then God's like, listen, do you like your job? And I'm like, I love my job. I'm really good at it. I was driving a forklift, and here was the crazy thing. It was a big old monster forklift that I got to sit down. I unloaded trucks all day long. I was in charge of shipping and receiving for this 150,000 square foot warehouse, and I was good at it. I went in and out of trucks, pallets everywhere. I loved my job. And here's what I loved about it. The tow motor only had one seat. No one else. And no one else was in the trailer with me unloading it. I just got to work by myself. And God's like, do you like your job? I love my job. Hey, I'm going to call you to be a pastor. I'm like, that's a bad idea. That's not who I am. Can I sit in a room by myself? Like, what are we talking about? That's not going to happen. Some of you who have been with us on this journey, some of you knew me when I was a youth pastor, so that's even crazier. But those of you who have been with us on this journey here at Rain Life Church for the last 12 years, man, I hear it all the time. They're like, you've gotten a lot better at preaching. Don't worry, I don't take that by offense. I was horrible then. I'm just below average now. So I get it. It's fine. But here's the deal. Every week, I'm like, God, I need you because I don't have it. I don't know the words. I'm not sure what I'm going to say. Is this story even going to be relatable? Will anybody care? And God's like, listen, this is exactly where I want you. This is where I want you. Because here's what we have to understand. When you can't, he can. I can't do this. And God's like, great. Finally, I can. Because this has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do. If you would have told me 12 years ago that Radiant Life Church would be one church in 3 locations, I would have laughed at you. I'd have been like, no way. But by the Spirit, we have an opportunity to be bold in reaching out and talking to people and sharing Christ boldly. So here's what we're going to do. In exactly an hour and 9 minutes at 1 o'clock today, there is going to be a post on the Radiant Life Church social media page. And it's going to be saying, a week from today, we're launching another campus in Orrville. You're going to be like, this isn't a very bold for some of you, because some of you already have done this 100 times. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you share that post? Would you invite somebody, tag somebody, invite them to church? Now, understand something, invite them, but they have to go to Orrville while you come here, because we're still having church here next Sunday. I just want everybody to be aware of that, how that's going to work, right? But here's the deal. I want to see 125 shares, at least 125 shares. Now, why did I say that? Because I want Mark Zuckerberg to know that Radiant Life Church has some people who are bold enough to invite somebody to church with them. Or maybe God gives you an opportunity to even invite somebody in person. Like, hey, I just want you to know, I'd love to have you come to church next week. We're going to be talking about, even if you're, hey, can I give you an inside scoop of what the message will be? It's already written. It's the same message. It's a little crazy how next week works. So at the 9, if you come to the 9 next week, don't be late because the message will be the first thing out of the countdown timer. Because when I'm done preaching, I will hop in a car out that door and I will drive to Orville and I'm going to walk on the stage and I'm gonna be like, let's go! Who's ready for Orville? And I'm going to be cheering and chanting and it's going to be great. And then I'm going to hop back in my car and then I'm going to drive back to Wadsworth so that way after worship at the 11 that I could preach here. That's what we're going to do. So I already know the message. Here's the message. We're talking about the prodigal son because it's a sermon all about coming home. So it is a great sermon for you to invite somebody to that, can I give you a little bit of a point of what one of the points is going to be? Here it is. Can I let you know something? And I'm looking at Greg, and if you have a chance, follow Greg on social media, and he's got a great concert coming up that you want to be a part of. I'll just throw that in there. Greg Kolbeck, look him up. But here's the deal. When you don't think anybody sees you, God sees you. God sees you. And maybe you have somebody in your life who's just hurting, and they're struggling, and they're broken. You're like, and they're just great opportunity to just let them know that God sees them. God sees them. So invite them. So you're going to be bold and you're going to invite somebody. And then you're going to be like, I don't know if I can do that. And then it's going to feel like a missile from heaven. And you're going to be like, man, I did it. And there was some boldness. And then all of a sudden God was like, man, I want you to pray for them. And you're like, I can't pray for them. When I pray, it sounds more like dear, you know, 6 pound, you know, eight ounce baby Jesus. Don't pray like that. But it's going to be like this powerful prayer and God's going to lead you. Maybe you could even do that today. I've shared this before. It's so great. Pastor Angel and I just did it like 2-3 weeks ago. You go out to eat, they bring you your drink, they take your order, and before they walk away, you say, hey, I'm a Christian, and we pray, and I'm gonna pray for my food. Is there anything I could pray for you about? And we did that, and here was our server's response. Everything? My life's really chaotic. And we said, you know what, we're gonna pray for you. And so that's what we did. We prayed for her chaotic life. And then it's like, man, even if they don't give you a prayer request, you know you could still pray for them anyway? Like pray for favor, pray for blessing, pray that they get a big tip. And you're like, that's not coming from me, but I'll pray for it, right? Be generous, people. But here's the deal. You're like, you can still pray for them. And that's gonna be the power of the Holy Spirit because you're gonna be like, man, I don't know if I can do this by myself. You can't, but he can. Second thing is the Holy Spirit will give you the power when you are weak. Here's what it says in Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So when you're weak, God's Spirit is perfect. When you get to the end of your strength, God's like, that's exactly where I wanted you because now I have an opportunity to be in this space with you. So in your weakness, that's when God is glorified. When you can't, he's gonna be strong. I would say it this way. It's in your weakness that he is the greatest. Right? That's when you know. And I get, we all have these excuses like I'm not brave enough, I'm not bold enough, I'm not, whatever it might be. I don't have the right words, I'm not smart, I'm not quick. Can I just say we're all on the same team? We're all weak. I'm gonna ask you guys to do something. Some of you, this is gonna be the most freeing thing you've ever done in your life. Can you do me a favor? Can you look at the person next to you and say, you're weak? Some of you have been married for 30 years and you're like, yes! I've been trying to tell my spouse for 30 years, you weak. You soft, bro. No, that's not what I meant. We're all weak. We're all on the same team. None of us are perfect. We all have weaknesses. Some of us have these gifts, some of us have those gifts, and we come together and we make a wonderful body called the church. And so that's why we're here. And so in our weakness, God is glorified. So when it comes to parenting and you need wisdom, ask for it. It's okay not to know what to do. Maybe you have a presentation at work and you're like, I get up and I get nervous and I start sweating and I stutter and ask God for help. Because when you're weak, that's when he is strong. Maybe there's an area of your life where you just overcome by sin. Like it gets the best of you day in and day out. And you have tried. Can I just encourage you to put down a shovel? Don't do it on your own. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you help me? Because in my strength, every time I'm tempted, I keep going back. But in your power, I want to find that freedom to be able to say no. I don't want to go back to you. I want to be set free. And so maybe you lean into that today. Because here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. For where I am weak, then I am strong. So we get to boast about that weakness. Don't hide from it. It's a boast because then everybody's going to know, yeah, you definitely didn't do that. That wasn't you. No, it wasn't, but that was God in me. So he gets the glory. And number three, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to experience all the fullness of God. Now, some of you are like, well, help me to understand that. What does that mean? I think there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of people who are followers of Christ all over this world that we have reduced Christianity down to the lowest common denominator. And what I mean by that is it's something to check off a list. And this isn't to call, this is not shame, like, oh, you're telling us we're not good. What I'm saying is I think sometimes we go, oh, yeah, I can follow Jesus, check. Church, yeah, sure. If it doesn't interfere with anything on my schedule, yep, check. Offering, yeah, there's a giving station. I got a dollar or two, check, we're good. But is there more? Is there more to just showing up and going through what we would say are the motions? Because here's why, we gotta be careful. We can go through the motions without stepping into his promises. Or you can go through the motions, like do all the things that you know you're supposed to do without ever experiencing the promises of God, because his promises are yes and amen. And he wants to pour out his Spirit, but are we willing to receive it? Or is it like, I just don't know if I need that. Can I just say we all need it? Here's how I know. I love this thing, right? Here is a device that helps us stay connected with people, right? We can text people. This device right here has helped me to speak to my wife every day and get the lowdown of what's happening with the team. It was bad planning, probably on my part. I think 4 of the people who went on this trip are staff, so they all have to come back by next week, all right? That was a bad idea. But this device helps us. I love Waze. I open this app and I type in an address and it tells me how to get there. I don't have to read a map. It tells me where some of my favorite people sit in the medians. You know what I'm saying? I love you. But it tells me, not that I speed, but I just want to know where they're at so I can pray for them when I drive by. That was a lie. I just want y'all to know that was, no. But there's email on here. I can check my fantasy football right now. I can tell you that when I walked up on stage, Dak Prescott got he's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL now with his 4-year extension. I think it's, let's see, what is it? It's only $240 million. So it's only $60 million a year. It's fine. He'll suffer, but he'll make through. I wonder if he tithes. No, I'm just kidding. So I can find out the weather, right? It's a great, love this device. Huh, I just turned it off. So now I'm just holding a very expensive paperweight. See, this device that can help me, that can guide me, that is a blessing, that can provide opportunities to stay connected, and I can pay bills or Apple, I can do all of these things. But if it has no power, it is useless. Now, I'm not saying you're useless. What I'm saying is we become very limited and ineffective when we don't have the power, when we don't tap into the power that God has available for us. This is amazing when it's fully charged. I'm just wondering if you're fully charged and fully present with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because I don't want to just sit and become a paperweight. I want God to do something in my life. So will you experience the full potential? If you want to experience that, then it has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the deal. We'll never figure out how big God is. It's impossible. Just imagine this for a moment. There are 200 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. 200 billion stars in one galaxy, and there are millions of other galaxies. Yet the scripture informs us and tells us that God put the stars in the sky and he knows them by name. What? There are 200 billion just in this galaxy, and there's millions of other galaxies, and there's probably trillions upon trillions of other stars, and God's like, I know that one. like the sermon that I've listened to the sermon more than anything. If you've never heard it, Google it. It's amazing. It's if you've ever heard the song or you worship to the song, How Great Is Our God? By Chris Tomlin. It was wrote for a passion conference with Louis Giglio, and Louis Giglio preached a sermon called How Great Is Our God? And he talks about stars. And he says, if the earth were a golf ball, how many have ever heard that sermon, right? And he's like, if the earth were a golf ball, and he's like, Canis Majoris, and this is the size of the star. You could fill up the Louisiana Superdome, right, with golf balls, earths, like 3 foot tall. And that's how big one star is. And we're over here going, I think I can figure them out. We'll never figure out how big and how vast and how amazing God is. Right now, there are 86 billion neurons in your brain that are all firing and communicating like circuits to help run your nervous system. Now, some of you are aware, I got a few that are off. Muscle spasms like crazy this morning. I was like, what happened here? But here's the deal. All of us have those 86 billion. And God knew exactly how many you would need, how long your DNA stretches. And it's just yours. I still can't fathom, right? In the wave pool, I thought I was gonna drown and die, but a baby in the womb is full of liquid and does not drown and die. I don't understand. And God's like, you never will, because you can't fathom. You can't fully grasp the power that I have. So what I'm trying to tell you is there's always more. There's more. There's more for you. There's more to learn. There's more to grow. There's more to experience. Here's how I know. So we talked about Peter on the front end, right? Peter denying Jesus. He's about to gives his life, and they're like, you're one of him. Nope, not with him. And then we read from Acts 1:8. And Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're gonna have this boldness to be witnesses. And then if you jump forward from Acts 1:8 and you go just a little bit forward and you jump to the Pentecost, and in Acts 2:4, it's what Acts 2:4 says. All of them, not some of them, but all of them. So the believers are gathered, they're in the upper room, they're praying and they're waiting for the Spirit to come. And this is what happens. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. If you keep reading past Acts 2:4 and Acts chapter 2, the same Peter who denied Jesus now has this boldness. Junior high kids, I'm afraid of. Oh, thousands of people, thousands. And he starts preaching the word boldly. Not only is he preaching the word boldly, he's telling the crowd, you wanna know who put Jesus on the cross? You did. That's why he went. He went because you put him there. You said he was guilty. And he did it because he loved you. And he starts preaching this sermon. And the scripture says that thousands that day came to faith in Christ. The same person who denied, now with the power, the dunamis, is preaching a gospel and impacting thousands of people. So if you feel like you're closer to Peter this morning, like, I don't know if I can tell anybody, or you feel like you're full of the Spirit and you got some boldness, whether you're on either one, I want you to know there's still more. There's still more. So I'm gonna pray for you, and then Gwen is gonna sing for us. And I just want you to rest, and I just want you to ask, Holy Spirit, would you give me and pour out your presence so I can experience your power? Now, some of you, maybe you've never read Acts 2:4, and that's okay. And you're like, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. I don't want that. That seems like it may be a little weird. All throughout the scripture, there's some things that happen that seem a little weird. Like the parting of a sea. How many of you have ever seen a lake or an ocean or the Mississippi River part and people walk through on dry ground and their lives are saved? Me neither. That seems weird, and I've never seen it. Joshua, right? Walls of Jericho. Like, we seen that? All I think of is VeggieTales, right? And Joshua, and he's got a march around the walls, and we're gonna be talking about this in our next sermon series. It's gonna be great, right? But he was walking around the walls, and it's like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. Don't say a word, and on the seventh day, you're gonna shout, and you're gonna blow a trumpet. It's gonna be great, and the walls are gonna come down. That's not a very good military strategy. But the walls come down. That's very weird. You keep reading throughout the Old Testament, like Samson and his strength. That seems weird. I don't know if you lately have ever seen anybody rip a lion apart with his bare hands, but here he is. Push buildings over. but his power came from his hair. I see the problem. So you see that. There's floating axe heads. How many know? I did this illustration a number of years ago. Axe heads don't float. We tried it. It's impossible. Yeah, this is what happened. So you see that. New Testament. Just allow this for a moment. Jesus, God in the flesh, the Son, Trinity, God Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit, comes to earth, gives his life, dies on a cross. We can't see him, but we read about him, and it was thousands of years ago, and we're still waiting for him to come, and we worship. That seems maybe a little weird sometimes. Can I just let you know on something? I'm using this word weird on purpose, because nothing in the word is weird. Nothing. It's God being God. I've done this a million times. Like I've shared this illustration. You're spinning right now. The earth is spinning at 66,000 miles an hour. It's crazy. While we're traveling around the sun to complete a year, and we're moving, right? 1,000 miles an hour, 66,000 miles an hour as we, and you don't feel the effects. But science tells us if it's off by even the smallest millimeter, that all of us would cease to exist. That's power. And God's like, you can have some of that. You can have some of that. So here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. I'm gonna pray, and then I'm just gonna ask you to seek. The scripture tells us to just earnestly seek. We're not seeking gifts for our gift set. We're seeking the giver, that he would pour out his spirit and give us the gifts. So for just a few moments, I just want you to seek the giver. Seek God and say, God, I want this power. I want that boldness. I want what Peter had in the book of Acts. I want what the early followers, the spirit being poured out in the upper room. I wanna have that kind of passion in my life that I wouldn't be afraid of the gospel. I wouldn't be afraid to tell somebody. I wouldn't be afraid to stand and worship. I wouldn't be afraid to exalt the name of Jesus, regardless of who was in the room. I wouldn't be afraid when my coworker asked me, what'd you do on Sunday? You know what I did? I went to church and I showed up, and you know who met me there? God. Crazy, right? I walked in and there were a bunch of strangers, and I didn't know them and they didn't know me, but they accepted me and they loved me. And then they said, you show up as a guest, but you leave as family. And now I'm a part of some family I didn't even know I had. It's power. So Jesus, help us today. In these next few moments, as we close our service, I'm asking Jesus that you would pour out your spirit, that we would be willing to receive from you today. So God, I pray that we would rest and we would seek. So whether we're sitting, whether we're standing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And when we say here, it's not you're already here in this room. What we're saying is you are welcome in our hearts. You're welcome to fill us, to baptize us with the dunamis, that we would be fully immersed in who you are, and we would live and walk and breathe underneath that infilling of your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.